Please stand for the reading of the Gospel. Our Gospel reading this fourth Sunday of Advent is from the first chapter of Luke. Now in those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Mary, the mother of Jesus. Now I know that you have Christmas on the brain, right? Be honest. At this very moment, some of you are thinking about gifts that you've still got to buy, and maybe you're thinking about, I don't know, plans that you have to make, a menu that you're still trying to pull together for Christmas, or travels that you're ready to go on. I get it, right? I get it. But for the next few moments, I want you to do your very best to focus your full attention on Mary, the one person in human history chosen to carry the fullness of God in her womb. After all, Paul writes in his letter to the Colossians that in him, in Christ, the fullness of God is pleased to dwell. It's why I like so much this painting by Morgan Wiesling titled "Kissing the Face of God." It's just so tender and so beautiful. This painting that we allowed to appear in so many different places this season, from our Advent devotionals to the Christmas Eve bulletin, this tender moment when Mary is kissing the face of God. Mary, a young unmarried teenage girl who unexpectedly became the mother of our Lord and unwittingly became our model for faithful living. She was the overlooked girl, right? She was the one whose voice, though, even though overlooked and maybe never listened to with any seriousness, it's her voice that would carry the first and most important sermon in all of history. The young woman who looked into a sea of confusion and doubt and chaos and fear and said, "With God, it's true. All things are possible. Just look at me." Today, I want to invite you, at least for a moment, to step away from shopping and preparing and decorating and focus as best as you can on this person of Mary. Now, to know Mary is to know a girl whose story begins in a darkened world, a world of fear and sorrow, a world that was struggling to know and believe in anything that offered hope, a world that essentially had turned its back on God and was living in chaos, a world that was yearning for a Savior. So if you would like, maybe you could close your eyes even just for a moment and consider Mary, the unlikeliest of characters in this unlikeliest of dramas, Mary who would bear in her womb the light for a darkened world. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, that mourns in lowly exile here, until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to you, O Israel. It's the year 1809. The international scene was chaotic. Napoleon was sweeping across Austria. Blood was flowing freely. Europe feared that he was trying to form an empire that would stretch throughout the continent, and he was doing a pretty good job of it so far. Everything was focused on that fear. But something else was happening that was honestly going entirely unnoticed. That very same year, a boy named Alfred Tennyson was born to an obscure minister and his wife. This child would one day become one of the finest poets in all of history. And then a few miles from there, at the same moment, a physician named Darwin and his wife gave birth to a child that they named Charles Robert. And then several thousand miles away, in that same moment, Oliver Wendell Holmes, born in Cambridge, Massachusetts. And that's not all, because if you listened carefully, you would have heard the cries of another baby, this one born in a rugged cabin of Hardin County, Kentucky. The baby's name? Abraham Lincoln. Now, you know as well as I that if CNN had existed in those days, I'm sure the headlines would have blasted out for all to hear. The destiny of the world is being shaped on the Austrian battlefields today, but history is actually being shaped in the cradles of England and America. Likewise, in Mary's day, same thing. The big news centered on Roman occupation, the most powerful empire the world had ever seen. Rome was really brutal to the people of Israel, and most recently, Caesar Augustus, the emperor of Rome, he had imposed a huge tax and demanded that everyone, as absurd as this was, that everyone was to return to their own hometown, to their place of origin, so that they might be registered by some census. That was all the talk. Everyone was frustrated and filled with fear and anger and all of everything in between. But did you notice? It was a young Jewish woman in a tiny town of Bethlehem who actually cradled the biggest news of all, the birth of a Savior. Unlikely, unnoticed, unbelievable, don't you think? It all began in a late afternoon, in hours of Nazareth in Galilee, when an angel of the Lord appeared to Mary. The angel's name was Gabriel, and Mary must have been all alone. The angel said to her, "Greetings, favored one, for the Lord is with you." "What?" Mary must have said. You know that she did. "Who are you, and what's so favored about me?" "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel said, "for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. This Jesus, he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of our ancestor David. For this child in your womb will be called holy, and he will be called the Son of God." Now, she surely did not know, this young teenage girl, surely she didn't know how to respond, right? If I would have been there, if I would have been Mary, run would have been the first word that would come to mind. Or maybe my mom's advice, don't speak to strangers, maybe is what I'd think. But in the end, she did the only thing that seemed natural to Mary, at least. The only thing that made sense to her, a response, a belief, really, that welled up from deep within her when she said, from that yearning place of her heart, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be according to me, according to your word." And as quickly as the angel had come, the angel disappeared, never to be seen by Mary again. Now, don't forget that the people of Israel, they had been yearning for a Savior for generations, for centuries, yearning for a Savior for so very long. Mary, too, had been yearning for a Savior. She had known the story. Her yearning had come from her parents, had come from her rabbi, had come from her community. That's what they spoke about. That's what they prayed for every time they gathered together. But no one ever imagined that God would show up like this. The story is told of a woman who met Jesus in a village market one day and asked that he stop by for dinner on Christmas Day. He agreed, and she eagerly ran home to begin all the preparations. Early on Christmas morning, this unbathed man, dressed in rags, knocked on the woman's door. "A spare morsel to eat," he asked. Now, it wasn't that she despised the homeless. She didn't. She was more than willing to help care for those who had nothing to eat. But not this morning. There was too much to do. There was too much to take care of. Jesus was coming. Not now, she said. Come back later, please do. But I'm just too busy at the moment. An hour later, another man stopped by, elderly, disabled, again knocking at the door. And she had never seen him before. She said, "Oh, friend, please, not now. I'm far too busy. Please, come back later." Then, a little later on, a friend poked his head through the door. She knew him quite well, but before he could even say a word, the woman yelled out, "Can't anyone see that I'm busy? Please, not now. Come back later." The morning passed, and the evening, too. A wonderful dinner she had prepared. The house was aglow in candlelight. The floors were swept, a smell of cider wafting through the home. When will he arrive? She thought to herself. The next day at the village market, she again saw Jesus, and she said, "Lord, why did you not stop by?" "Waiting, I waited for you all day long. Food was cooked, the house was cleaned. Where were you?" And you know his response, right? But I did come by your home yesterday. 3 times I visited you, but you were too busy for me. You didn't have time. You sent me away." The same could have been said for Mary. I mean, the easiest thing for Mary to have done would have been to say to the angel, "Not now. I'm too young. I'm not prepared. Maybe later on in life, but surely not yet. Can't you see? I've got other things to think about right now." Besides, she knew the law. I mean, she had seen what had happened to women caught in crazy predicaments, and this was a crazy predicament. You know that it was. I mean, she remembered the words of her rabbi when he gathered all the girls of the village together and told them very clearly what would happen about if you were caught in adultery or you became pregnant before marriage. There were only 2 options, cut and dry, he would say. The first is that the sin must be removed entirely. And then ways of removing the sin, well, a public act of stoning. That would protect and honor our community, he said. Or you could be kicked out of the village entirely, forced to go it on your own. You must deny contact with family and friends. You would be labeled an adulteress forever. Mary knew the law. She knew the risk. And she must have been afraid, scared in a way that she had never been scared before. But she did not allow her fear to direct her paths. Instead, she put her trust in the Lord and said simply, "Here I am." Listen to that again, because I must admit it's somewhat of a conviction to me, maybe to some of you as well. She did not allow her fear. Maybe we could say she did not allow her pride to stand in the way or to direct her paths. Instead, she trusted in the Lord and said simply, "Here I am." Stunning. There should be no surprise that Mary is widely considered the perfect example of the Christian life, a woman with no equal in Scripture. And yet I've often wondered, why would she say yes? I mean, why would Mary put herself at such risk? I mean, think about it. Hindsight is one thing. Mary would become the mother of Jesus. That's pretty awesome, right? I mean, she was the first to hold the Son of God in her hands and the first to listen to his cry. She taught him how to walk. She taught him how to talk. She listened to those very first precious words. Sure, she had to deal with dirty diapers and with sleepless nights. I get that. But imagine knowing that holding in your hands was the one who would save the world. Imagine stroking his hair at night, just knowing that he would teach the world how to love again, watching his tiny little feet that were just dancing there in the manger on that first night, knowing that this same boy, when he became a man, would travel many miles teaching and preaching, touching those tiny little hands. She knew that he would touch the hands of so many men and women, boys and girls. Could there be a better reward? And yet it would also mean a great deal of sacrifice, right? I mean, Mary we know, endured the doubts of a fiancé and the scorn of neighbors who saw her pregnant before marriage. Saying yes meant fleeing to far off Egypt to protect her baby from a king who wanted to kill him. It meant raising a child that she would never fully or completely understand. Most of all, it meant watching her son die on a cross, carefully helping to pull him off of the beams and wrapping him once again in swaddling clothes. I know it's Christmas. And I know you've got visions of sugar plums dancing in your head. I get it. But imagine Mary on the day that her son is executed, holding him in her arms, bathed in tears, wrapping him in linens to begin preparing him for burial. In that moment, she must have remembered the incredibly unusual gift of myrrh that was given, you remember, by the wise men that day at Jesus' birth. Myrrh, a perfume that's used to prepare a body for burial. 30 years later, Mary again cradled the body of her son. The anguish must have been unbearable. A mother should never have to feel such pain. But in that moment, Mary understood. She understood what no one else did, that Jesus' death was not a final answer. Despite her sadness on that dark and that very stormy day, she found comfort in the words of an angel who had visited her 30 years earlier. Do not be afraid, Mary. Do not be afraid. Don't you remember? Mary had begun this relationship with Jesus by holding him in her arms, holding his tiny, beautiful form in her arms, cradling him, swaddling him, kissing the very face of God. But in the end, she realized that she must let Jesus hold her, because he was not only her child, he was also her Lord. And to that too, Mary said, yes. A story that begins in fear and deep, deep yearning. It ends in hope. A story that encounters death, anguish, and sorrow, finds its completion in pure joy. And the same, friends, the same is true today. For those, and perhaps some of you, those of you who walk in darkness, for those, and perhaps some of you, those who fear a night of silence, for those, and perhaps some of you, for those who are lost or in need of strength, on you, Mary proclaims, on you, light has shined. For Jesus has come. Let us adore him. Amen.